I'm going to be preaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. We'll read that in a moment. It's about suffering and the purpose of suffering. Suffering is a universal experience for all humans. Everyone suffers. Everyone endures hardships. Everyone endures trials. These are the kinds of things that Satan tries to use in our life to distance us from God or to make us angry with God or others in our lives, to undermine our faith and our trust in a good and loving God. And so I want us to talk about hardships. I want you to think about the hardships you're going through. In what ways have you been in your past, or are you now being afflicted? In what ways are you suffering? What ways are you experiencing a trial or a hardship? In what ways do you just feel the brokenness of this world? It could be that your body is deteriorating. As you age, you're coming to grips with the fact that you can't do things that you used to be able to do. It could be that your eyesight is failing. Your legs feel sluggish. That's a hardship. That's a trial. That's an affliction that we experience as we grow older because of sin and sin's existence. We know that death is coming. It certainly could be that you're having major health issues like a disease or a sickness that requires surgery, and you're thinking about that hardship, and it causes you to have anxiety. Some of you struggle in your minds. Some of you struggle with depression or with anxiety or fear about what is coming in the future. Some of you may not be aware of this, but I guarantee you the people around you are aware of it. You struggle with extreme moodiness. One day you're happy as a clam, and the next you're mean as a serpent. Now that's a struggle in your mind. That is a hardship that you've got to face down and do the appropriate thing with in your life. Some of you are struggling financially. Provision has not come easy for you. The future, and financially speaking, it makes you worry. Some of you experience conflict in your homes, and there's fighting with words, or maybe it's the silent treatment. But there's just turmoil in your home. The relationships you've had throughout your life haven't gone well, haven't ended well. And that's a hardship. You know, in the home, I hope it's not your home, but there is all around us abuse in our homes. And I just want to encourage you, if you're one of those people who are experiencing physical abuse, you need to reach out to the proper authorities. The authorities God has put in place, the police or church or school officials, you need to reach out, let them know what's going on in your life. That's a serious hardship that we don't want you to have to endure any longer. But my goal in bringing up all this is to help you see that, number one, if you're in Christ, you're a believer in Jesus, your suffering is not meaningless. It's not in vain. So our text is going to point us to that truth this morning. And I want you to see that God will reward you for enduring suffering with faith in Him. There is great reward on the line for those who endure the trials of this world with their faith in Christ. That's going to be the encouragement from our text this morning. The term that's used is weight of glory. There is a weight of glory that awaits those who are in Christ and who endure the suffering that we face. Now, God brings suffering into our lives for a number of reasons. We're going to be focusing on one this morning, but I just want to quickly let you know there are some other reasons Scripture gives us that we suffer. And I said God brings suffering into our lives. That is certainly true. God brings it into our lives. He is not ignorant of your suffering. He is not powerlessly standing by while you suffer, and He's not surprised when the trial comes upon you. God is at work for your good in and through your suffering. The Bible is very explicit about that. For those who love God, all things work together for good. That is biblical truth that you need to arm your heart and your mind with. He's not ignorant or powerless about your suffering or your hardships. He's in control of it, and he's using it. There's a purpose for it. It's not meaningless. So, one of the reasons is that when we suffer, it's a test. It proves the genuineness of our faith. 1 Peter talks about this. The book of James talks about this. Another reason is it produces character. It produces righteousness in us. Again, James talks about this. Our suffering imitates our Savior, who suffered for us. When we suffer so that the gospel can go forward, the grace of God goes to more and more people. We see this most explicitly when a Christian goes into a hostile environment and suffers and even dies so that the gospel can go to people who didn't know about the love of Jesus. That's one of the reasons God brings suffering. So it spreads the grace to more and more people and to increase thanksgiving in the world. Another reason is it makes us rely on God and not our own strength. Paul explicitly mentions this in his letter to the Corinthians. Makes us rely on God and not our own strength. The one that I want to talk about that our scripture talks about this morning is that it prepares reward for us. Our suffering prepares us for reward. There will be reward for those who suffer well in this life, who entrust their souls to God, and who continue to do good in the midst of your trials, whatever that might be. So let's read our verse. It's pretty short. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." So first, the word used there in my translation is affliction. And I've already told you, affliction and suffering is a universal human experience. The reason for that is because of sin. Sin's presence that was brought into the world through the fall of Adam and Eve and the temptation of Satan brought affliction, suffering, and brokenness into our world. And we all experience it. I've already talked about some ways you might be experiencing it. But what affliction is Paul referring to, you might wonder? Is he just talking about those who are sharing their faith and being persecuted because of it? Well, no, the context of chapter 4 leads us to think he has in mind all forms of affliction. So we see in chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "We are afflicted in every way." Every way. We know that Paul was stoned by people who didn't want to hear him preach the gospel and left for dead. But we also know Paul mentions some of his affliction as being shipwrecked. And that was just an accident at sea. But it was something he suffered through. And so for us, it includes everything that comes into our life that causes us sorrow, that causes us to feel pain and the brokenness of this world. Verse 16, verse right before the one I've read, says that though our outer self is wasting away, so the outer self is a reference to our body. Paul explicitly says that it's wasting away. And so we know in verse 17, when he says this light momentary affliction, he has in mind all kinds, every kind of afflictions and sufferings that we might face. So this applies to every situation that we face that brings pain and reminds us of the brokenness in this world. Now, Paul uses two adjectives that have to govern our thinking. Sometimes you go through an experience and you just think, "I cannot handle this any longer." Well, Paul has a word for you. What you're experiencing is light. Paul is not trying to belittle your experiences. Paul suffered greatly. I've already mentioned two things: being stoned, being shipwrecked. Lots of other things Paul mentions in the scriptures that were done to him because he loved Jesus and was trying to follow him. But he's speaking from a place of deep experience when he says that this is light. It's light. Now, we're going to talk about later why he says that, because it's in comparison to something else. But he wants you to know that it's light. It will cease. It will not remain forever. That's the second point. It's momentary. So not only is what we're experiencing light, it's momentary. And you might be thinking, I've been suffering through this for years. Why would Paul belittle my situation and call this momentary? It certainly doesn't feel momentary. Paul is trying to give us proper perspective when we're going through these trials. It is momentary when it's compared to eternity. So Paul wants us to know, yes, you're going to be afflicted, you're going to suffer, but it is light and it is momentary. Next, he goes on to say that this affliction is preparing us. It's preparing something for us. He says it's preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Now, the important word there is us, and I've already mentioned this. This only applies to those who are in Christ by repentance and faith, those who are trusting in him, those who have become a disciple, a follower of Jesus. If you are outside of Christ, you've never put your trust in him, you've never said, I want to follow him no matter what it costs me, you are outside of these promises. The suffering and the afflictions that you experience are only the beginning of what you actually deserve because of your rebellion against God. That is the truth that the scripture paints. Those who are outside of Christ deserve far worse than anything they're suffering in the here and now. And they will get what they deserve from God's hand when they die or when he returns. There will be everlasting punishment for those who are outside of Christ. I can't stress that enough. I assume many of you, most of you in this room, are in the audience Paul is directly addressing, those who are in Christ. But I feel the burden to add, by the way, if you're not in Christ, this does not apply to you. These promises do not apply. The promise of God's wrath and judgment is what applies to you, and what you're experiencing now is just the tip of the iceberg. Separation from God for eternity, his act of wrath poured out on you will be unpleasant, to say the least. So my encouragement is to make yourself a part of this audience that Paul is talking to. Trust in Christ. Be a receiver of the promises we're talking about. He is preparing us through suffering. That's the point here. Our affliction is preparing us for something to come later. So there's preparation for a future reward. In verse 16, after he says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. So God, through our suffering, through our experiences, he is renewing our inner spirit, our heart and our soul, because he is offering us reward and promise and preparing us for something to come. That knowledge should renew our spirits each and every day. There is meaning in what I'm going through today, even if it's hard, even if it's difficult. God is preparing something for me because of it. And so that brings us to glory. Affliction preparing for us glory. There is great reward for those who love and obey Jesus in the midst of trials. He has a couple more adjectives here for us. He says that this glory is eternal. It is forever. And that's why Paul can say that the suffering is momentary. The glory, the reward, is forever. It's hard for our finite minds to understand eternity. But we will be with Jesus in his glory, sharing in his glory forever. And he also says that there's an eternal weight of glory. So the light affliction versus the weight of glory. It's beyond all comparison is what he says. So, you know, it's like different food groups sit on your stomach differently. Some food groups you just feel like you could just eat tons and tons and tons and it doesn't make a difference. That's the light. Think of that. Your suffering is like that. You can handle it. because of what's coming. And there's some food groups that you eat it and it just feels satisfying. It doesn't even take that much. You eat it and you just feel full. You feel right. That's the eternal weight of glory that waits for us. There is this joy and satisfaction that God has promised to us to help us endure now. And he's saying, I'm preparing you for glory. I am preparing glory for you. And he does say that it's beyond all comparison. We do not yet fully comprehend the greatness of the glory of God. As much as we search the scriptures, as much as we draw near to God, we'll get a better sense of God's greatness. But in the here and now, our finite minds cannot comprehend the glory of God. It will blow us away to be with God in eternity. I was just thinking, you know, there's so many things that get us excited in the here and now. We get excited for next Saturday's matchup, you know, our favorite football team. We get excited for the tickets we got for that concert that's just going to really, you know, pump us up. We get excited for that favorite meal at that favorite restaurant. Those are things that excite us. Traveling to new places, you know, getting money somehow or spending money somehow. These things excite us, but they all pale in comparison to the excitement that should be in our hearts thinking about the weight of glory that God has promised. It far exceeds all these things that genuinely excite our hearts. God's glory is so much better. So part of it is just our finite minds, but just arm your heart and your mind with the truth that it is beyond comparison. It is so good that it should excite us. So in conclusion, I just have a few things I want to bring to your attention. Number one, do not make excuses for your sinful behavior because you have or are suffering. This is a common reaction to suffering. Something has been done to you, and you try to go cope with that wrong in a number of ways that are sinful. And so never make an excuse for your sinful behavior because someone else sinned against you. There's never a reason to do that. Being wronged or suffering does not give us a free pass to live how we want to live. You know, the bottle, whether that's a prescription bottle or alcohol bottle, that won't solve your problem. That's not a proper way to cope. Your angry outbursts won't solve your problems. Indulging the lusts of your heart will not solve your problems. But Jesus promises to solve your problems. Maybe not in the here and now, but you can be sure that if you are experiencing hardships, he has purpose for it. He has purpose for it. And so you can trust Jesus. You can just say, I know I'm going through this, but Lord, I trust you. And so the Bible says to trust in the Lord and do good. Don't make excuses for your sinful behavior. Entrust yourself to the Lord and do good. Second, I would say, remember, your trials are not meaningless. We've already talked about some of the reasons. We've focused on the fact that God is rewarding us for enduring. Our affliction prepares for us glory in eternity. So it's not meaningless. Do not believe the lie of Satan that your suffering, your hardship, is meaningless, or that it's God's anger being poured out on you. If you are in Christ, the anger God had towards your sin was poured out on Christ on the cross. And your hardship is not a punishment for your sin. He is preparing you for the weight of glory, for the reward available to us in heaven. So endure. Endure. Last, I would say, remember Jesus suffered and died for your sins. When you're suffering, remember whatever you're going through is not as bad as what Jesus went through to pay for your sins. Jesus was sinless. He didn't deserve to suffer and die. He did it on our behalf. So when you're suffering, when you're going through a hard time, remember, Jesus went through worse than this for me. Jesus did that. And so, it should cause us, number one, to give thanks always. You always have a reason to thank God that Jesus came into this world to die on the cross to pay for your sins and rose again to offer you eternal life. You always, if you're in Christ, you're trusting in that promise and what he did, you always have a reason to be thankful no matter what you are experiencing. So remember that and give thanks always. Do not believe the lies that it's okay for you to adopt a negative disposition because you're going through a hard season in life. It's not okay. Don't excuse that behavior. Give thanks for what Jesus did. Don't belittle what Jesus did by forgetting to give thanks for that when you're going through a hard time. Number two, do not lose heart. Paul makes that point twice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 1, he says, we do not lose heart. And then in verse 16, he says, after talking about the gospel and what Jesus has done, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Paul's point is don't lose heart. Don't lose heart when you're suffering. It's preparing glory for you when you do that while you're trusting and obeying Jesus. Finally, it says, look to the things that are not seen. This is verse 18, right after the one I've been reading. So, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. They change. They fade away. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Paul is encouraging us to let God's truth govern our minds, our hearts, our actions, and our attitudes. You might feel like all hope is lost. You might feel so angry or hurt. You might feel intense pain from your afflictions. Don't let that govern your heart and your mind. Let the truth of God's word, his promises, those are the things that are unseen. You can't see the promises of God. You can't see the presence of God right now, but that's what's promised to you. His glory. He's going to welcome us into his glory. We will share in his glory in eternity. Arm your heart and your mind with that knowledge. Let it affect the way you live now. Yes, long for the day when we will be with Jesus in heaven. So those are my encouragements to you. Don't make excuses for your sinful behavior. Remember that your trials are not meaningless. God is using them to prepare you for eternity. And remember, Jesus suffered and died for your sins. So give thanks, don't lose heart, and look to the promises that are unseen.